Hallelujah. Today I'm reading two passages of Scripture. One in John chapter 6 in verse number 37. And one in 1 Samuel chapter 22, or chapter 22 verse 3. Hallelujah. In John chapter number 6 and verse 37, and I want you to be thinking about this. I've titled this, Come and Be Saved. As all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now listen, I used this verse Thursday night at the nursing home. Brother Larry conducts the nursing home, he and Brother Craig and Sister Donnie Ruth and others. And Brother Craig was not going to be able to be there, and so I filled in. And I used this verse. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I hope that verse alone, standing on its own merit, will convince somebody that you can come to Jesus. I hope that verse will shut the clamor in your mind, if it's there, that I've gone too far, that I've crossed the line, that there's no hope for me. I hope this verse, coming from the lips of our Savior, originated in the channels of heaven, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You are in that number. Can I get a witness out there? He that cometh, she, he, whatever, whoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now I know in general terms what the word cast means, just like you do. Casting a rod and reel or whatever, a bait. But the more literal meaning is tossed aside. You look at something and you say it has no merit. So what do? You toss it aside. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, they will not be tossed aside. You think you're not worth anything, you're arguing with God. You think you're not capable, you're arguing with God. God says, no matter the debacle that you're in, no matter the mess that you're in, if you will come to Jesus Christ, you will not be tossed aside. Static in my mic. That's a good sign. That's a good sign that says what I've got to say is important. It must be. Let me cut this off. Tell your neighbor, he'll make it all right in a minute. Let's go now to the Old Testament. Is the static gone now? Let's read our passage from the Old Testament. Verse number 2. Everyone that was in distress. Anybody here ever been there? Most of us get there just before we get saved. Hello? If you were in smooth waters, you wouldn't feel like you needed God. But it's when your boat rocks, when the wind is howling, and your children are going crazy, and your marriage is crumbling, and your job is shut down, and you can't turn to grandmama because she's in heaven. Who do you turn to? You turn to God. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt. Anybody ever been there? Everyone that was discontented, anybody ever been there? They gathered themselves unto him, unto David. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men.
The rejects of society migrated to David, and he turned them into the world's best army. Men that were from the bad places of life. I want you to think and have a prayer in your heart with me for the next few moments. And I want you to hear the verse from St. John chapter number 6. This verse, Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will no wise." This is not selective. He's not looking over this congregation this morning and say, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's all inclusive. The rich, the poor, the beggar, the aristocrat, everyone is included. You are included. Jesus said to you, if you will come to me, I will not toss you aside. I will take you and begin to mold you. You're not now what you're going to be, but you're not going to be what you were. If you will submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. People saw you as a piece of marred clay. But when Jesus gets through with you, you're a jewel. Am I talking to anybody? See, the only thing, and I want you to get this, the only one here beyond hope, the only individual here beyond the reach of God is the one that fails to come to Jesus. If you drag your feet and fail to come to Jesus, he can't help you. He helps those who approach him. Cry unto me, call unto me. Am I talking to you? Some people fail and refuse to come for any number of reasons. Some have come and they've later failed. Some have come because of the pride of life, the flesh. They don't want to be identified with Christianity. Let me tell you something, the most noble thing that you could state about your own self is to whoever will listen to you, say, I am a Christian. I'm not religious. Don't get on the church. I go to church. But be able to say flat-footed that I am a Christian. What is a Christian? One who has been born again. Hello? A Christian is one who has repented of their sin. We have lost the fundamentals of Christianity. We've moved beyond. We don't think that's important anymore. But the most important verse in this Bible, in the New Testament, come from the lips of Jesus, and it said, you must be born again. You must repent. We've walked beyond that, and we've got in all kind of frills and thrills and gadgets and whatevers anymore, and nothing satisfies us that don't have hype to it. But let me tell you something right now. You don't have good flesh on your bones because of hype. Your flesh on your bones come because of vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin spinach, and whatever, you know. Hello? You grow because of a balanced diet, and we have lost the fundamentals. They get down and say, sir, do you want to be saved? Yes, I want to be saved. I don't know how to be saved. Well, here's how you're saved. From your heart, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. From your heart. Am I talking to anybody? With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation, unto righteousness. You want to be saved? Let me tell you how to be saved. Bow your knees before Jesus Christ. You can be saved standing up, but if the greatest aspect of it is humility. But if you can get on your knees, get on your knees before Jesus Christ and say, don't choke on it now. Don't get gagged on it. Hello. Am a sinner. Whoa, we hate to say that. Whoa, we disdain from that. But that's what you are if you're not saved. You're not a good sinner or a bad sinner or a mediocre sinner. You are a sinner. Reality is reality. That person that lives near you that would help you in every way they could, if they're not Christians, they are sinners. Sinners have a goal in life. They have a destination in life. And if you're not a Christian, you're in that destination. There is a stopping point. There is a getting off place. The train's going to stop, and you're going to disembark one day. And it's going to be called a place called torture, torment, anguish, day and night, forever and ever. Why do you think we have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night prayer meeting? Why do you think we do? Because we know that at the end of your journey, if you're a sinner, you're going to be lost eternally. You don't have a second chance. You don't have a third chance. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. It's a one-time shot, and that's why we have church, so that you can get involved in the number. So if you're not a Christian, you are a... You acted mighty reluctant about that. You didn't want to call your neighbor a sinner. If you're not a Christian, you are a sinner. And if you're a sinner, you're not a Christian. So what do? You repent of your sin. You say, Lord, I am sorry. I know we're sitting here sophisticated in a Pentecostal church, and we're saying, he's telling us something kindergartens. If the kindergartens would have heard it, they might have been saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach without being sent? I'm here to tell you, it's not frills and thrills that you need. It's not banana pudding that you need. You need the spiritual meat of the word, of the basics of salvation. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, when you had need to be, that you were teachers, you had to be taught again. We move away from the shores of stability. So if you're going to get saved, the word of God bears out. He that cometh to me, if you come to Jesus, you're coming away from something. You can't come to Jesus and remain what you are. I know why there's static in that mic. You cannot come to Jesus and remain the same. It is absolutely impossible. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and the new things have come. Listen, Romans chapter 7. Am I talking to anybody? Romans chapter 7. The things that I used to love, I now hate. I mean, the honky-tonks don't appeal to people that are... We've got a new nature in us. That old nature enjoyed the honky-tonks. It enjoyed the skating ring. It enjoyed whatever it was. I'm just pulling things. It enjoyed the frivolousness of the world, the excitement of the world, the boogie-woogie. It enjoyed that because it was speaking to what dominated you. You were dominated by the flesh. But the new nature doesn't like that. The new nature repulses at that. The new nature says, we don't need to be doing that stuff. What does the new nature want? It wants... its creator. It wants the Almighty God. It wants to be Godlike. When I was born again, the great thing in my life, in your life, if you were born again, was to be Godlike. Oh, Jesus, help me. The enemy will do everything possible to keep you away from Jesus. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, you say, I can't make it. I've tried before. He takes failures. In fact, he can't do much with successful people. Not many wise and haughty and high-minded are called. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, whoremongers, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind, liars, covetousness, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But that's just the comma. And such were some of you. But now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. I'm going to tell you, the testimony of Christianity is to come into a congregation of people and see John Doe sitting there that used to be a wife beater, that used to be a liar, that used to be a thief, that used to be a hater of God, sitting there with his hand raised up in there saying, I love you, Jesus. That's the testimony. Theology is not going to win people to Jesus. It's the living testimony. It's the eyewitness. I saw him in his sin, and I've seen him changed. Amen. The greatest testimony that you can have in your community, in your family, is to show them a life that has been transformed. Listen to me good. You do not have to fabricate it. You do not have to pretend it. It's a natural thing. It's the spring of life welling up inside of you. You say, well, I would come, but I failed him one time. Most of us in here has failed him more than one. But, oh, dear Jesus, the love of God says, if you failed him, get up and come back again. I will not toss you aside. If you come back the 1,300th time, God is not in the business of tossing us aside. The devil is the one that tosses you aside. He uses you, abuses you, puts you up, throws you out, kicks you, badgers you, lies on you, abuses your health, takes your wealth, takes your mind, your sanity. And then when he's through and there's no more juice left in you, he throws you on the woodpile. He's not your friend. He's not your compadre. He's not the devil is not for you. He's not. He's against you. Even if he's trying to lie to you, he's against you. He's trying to destroy you, to destruct you. But Jesus said, if you fail, don't worry about it. You come back to me. My arms are, oh, Jesus, somebody say, I will forgive you of your iniquity. I will. How often should I forgive my neighbor? Seven times, Jesus said, you'd have no idea. Seven times 70. I don't mean to go out and be careless making a deal of it. Am I talking to anybody? Say, it's not a question as to whether you'll be accepted or not. That's not a debate. That don't say, well, I wonder if he would accept me. I wonder if I come to the altar this morning, I wonder if I would be accepted. I can promise you yes. The reason I can promise you yes is because he said it. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen? I mean, the whole spectrum of life, if they come to him. Now, I want to call your attention to some who have come through the New Testament, through the Bible. Lepers came. They were unclean. They didn't have the right to mingle with society. But they heard something about Jesus that stirred them up. And so they came. He was in Matthew chapter 8. He was on the mountaintop talking to his disciples, teaching. And he comes down from that mountaintop. And guess what met him? In chapter 8 of Matthew, a leper come running to him. Good master, if thou canst, thou can make me clean. There's something about Jesus that this leper said. He's not like the apostles. He's not like this, that, and he's not like the synagogue. That I just believe if I can connect with him, he will make me whole. He will make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Now, that's contradictory. Clean does not touch unclean and remain clean. When clean touches unclean, it becomes unclean. Amen? But Jesus, the clean, touched the unclean, and the unclean became clean. Am I talking to you? They had gone to every avenue of help they could, and they couldn't find it. But when Jesus come down from that mount, I'm going to tell you something right now. If people would be guided, if people would be pointed to Jesus Christ, the greatest tragedy in the Christian community is our lack of advocating Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, if we get there, by the grace of God, we're going to wish that we'd have talked more about Jesus, we'd have sung more about Jesus, we'd have bragged more about Jesus, because he's the hub. We're the spokes, but he's everything. Am I talking to you this morning? The leper come and he was delivered. And the next, that leprosy is a type of sin. And Jesus can, all you need is one touch from Jesus' hand this morning and your life can be changed. Have you ever seen anybody changed? Have you ever seen anybody, they come in, whether it's in church or whatever, and they got tired of sin. See, that's what sin does. Sin is a burden. Sin is not a blessing. Sin is a burden. You commit sin, you act in violation to the principles of God, and then you got a conscience to deal with. In Washington, D.C., they got a conscience fund. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are in it because people cheated the government, and they got guilty about it and felt guilty, and they mailed the money back. They get mine, I don't mail it to them, they come get it. Jesus is what these people needed. Amen? Nobody is beyond his touch. Can I get a witness out there? The immoral came, not just the leper. I want to get to the good man. See, the good man has got to come just like the bad man does. Let me knock this goodness right out the back door. God's word says there's none good. No, not one. You look around, you might be around somebody that thinks they're good, but that's just, if there's any goodness in you, it's because of he who is good. If there's any righteousness in you, it's not self-righteousness, it's God-righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. The immoral came. He was in the house of Simon. He was in the house of a sinner, Jesus was. And this woman entered into the house and went straight to Jesus. I don't know how much she knew about him. I don't know how much she had been told about him. But she went straight to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And guess what she did? She dried them with her hair. And Simon sits over there smug. And he's talking to himself. He said, if he knew what kind of woman it was that was doing all this, he would think differently. Jesus knew what kind of woman it was. And he knew what kind of man Simon was. And he said, Simon, I've got something to tell you, to talk to you about. I came into your house and you didn't wash my feet. I came into your house and you didn't give me anything to drink or eat. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't wash my feet with your tears. This woman has done it. Something about Jesus, something about, I'll tell you, if he's presented, he will. He said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The greatest thing that people, even you who are here this morning, you don't need to hear about churchianity. You don't need to hear about all this stuff. You need to hear that there is a Savior seated upon the throne, and he's willing to save you. He wants to save you. You don't have to go on probation. You don't have to ask him 13 times to save you. I mean, if you need to, that's fine. But you can say, Peter's on the water, on the most unstable thing. Am I talking to anybody? Peter's on the water. There's nothing more unstable than water. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and walk on the Pamplico, and I doubt if you will either. But it's unstable. It's uncertain. It's unsure. There's no stability in it. And Peter looks up, and there is Jesus walking on that is unstable, that is unpredictable. Listen to me now. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat, and Peter started walking on that is unstable. When you got saved, you got out of the boat of mess. You got out of the boat of carnality. You got out of the boat of whatever. And you start, life is unstable. Amen? I don't care. I mean, it's unpredictable. Whatever you're going through today may change tomorrow, but life is unpredictable. And we've got to learn to walk on the water. We've got to learn how to survive walking on unpredictability. God does not give you a concrete slab. God does not give you a ramp or a boardwalk. You got to walk with the highs and the lows, the turbulences and whatever. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. Satan wrecks lives. And he talks to his victims and he tosses them aside. I was 29 years old. 29 years old on March the 24th, 69. And right after I was 29 years old, I went to church. And I went to church with an open, well, it wasn't open mind either. I was reluctant. Because I knew what was going to happen if I ever got in church. I grew up in church. I grew up around conviction. I grew up around morals. I grew up around principles. I grew up around you do this and you don't do that. And it's not because the church teaches it. It's because the Bible teaches it. Hello? There were some places I would not have gone for anything in the world. You've heard us talking about going, and I don't say this to get, but I'm telling you how things have changed. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When I was small, in the fifth grade of school, they said, we're going to walk from the schoolhouse down to the movie theater. We're going to go to the movie theater. And I said, I ain't going. Now, some of you looking at me like I'm crazy, you know, because we're living in 2017 now. But I'm talking about 1945. I'm not going. Well, yes, you are too. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. And I didn't go. And I got a lot of flack. I got a lot of ridicule. You know, what does he think? Holy Joe, they called me, oh, Holy Roller and all that. I didn't care what they called me. I knew that I had a mother at home that would have skint me if I'd have gone to that movie. I was trying to obey the consciousness of the Holy Ghost, but I was more like obeying the voice that I heard in my mind saying, now, son, you know. And I didn't go. But I didn't sit out there whining, well, I wish I could go. See, that's the problem. When we get to Jesus and we encounter Jesus Christ, we're not interested in what we used to do. We're interested in what we want to do for God Almighty. Am I talking to anybody this morning? The educated come. I mean, Nicodemus comes to him by night. Private audience. But he come to him. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm going to tell you what you got to be. You got to be born again. Being born again is dying and rebirth. Amen? I mean, we use the term because it's biblical. You must be born again. You must be born. You were born of the flesh, natural birth. Now you've got to be born of the Spirit. And let me tell you right quick, there's not a water pond in the United States that can save you. You can start in Manio and go all the way to Murphy. You can go from New York to Los Angeles and be baptized in every stream, every creek, every waterhole there is, and still be lost and go to hell. What saves you is faith in the blood and the shed blood and the work of Jesus Christ, period. That's not a Church of God doctrine only. That's a Bible doctrine. And if you've not repented, you're not saved. I'm not judging you. I'm just giving you the basic things of the. And somebody here, I just feel it in my heart. Somebody here said, I don't want to be confused. Let me tell you something right now. If this thing wound up this afternoon and you were in this altar this morning saying, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, you would be so tickled. You would hold my hand through eternity. You would say, oh, I'm so glad you held us there. I'm so glad. Let me tell you, we're not messing around with nickel and dime stuff. We're messing around with souls, with eternal values. Amen. I'm not pitching for you for applause on my back. I'm not up here trying to get, you know, whatever credits. I want to do whatever I can to obey Jesus Christ and get you in an altar of prayer. And you say, well, that's being mean. No, it's not being mean. It's being compassionate. If the watchman sees the sword coming and he does not warn, they will die in their wickedness, but their blood will be required at your hand. God help the preacher that don't tell the truth. God help the preacher that don't present the doctrines of salvation. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're educated, you're a leading elder in Israel, but you have got to be born again just like the peon has got to be born. Am I talking to you? The rich people came to Jesus. I mean, I'm talking about every spectrum of life. A rich young ruler come running to Jesus. Knelt down. He had the right approach. Am I talking to you? He had the right approach. He didn't come slagging along, you know, well, you know, I'm going to go check it out. You ain't going to get nowhere that way. If you're half-heartedly in this thing, you're going to be defeated. In fact, as you've probably already been defeated. You got to do this with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Your Christian experience is more important than your children. Your Christian experience is more important than anything that you do, your job or whatever. Your relationship with God is priority number one. Guard it. It's treasure in earthen vessels, and guard it with your life. And Jesus said, he spoke to him, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see him. He wanted to see Jesus. Nicodemus goes to him by night. And the rich young ruler comes running to him. Isn't that good? I mean, I'd love to see somebody come running down one of these. I'm talking about just running. Have mercy upon me. I'm talking about somebody that could feel the torments of hell. We don't talk those things hardly anymore, but it would knock me over. You probably have to call 911 or have some praying people around me one, because I want to see somebody get saved. The young man came running to Jesus. Then he did something else. He did, and everything he did was proper. He knelt down. He didn't come proud and arrogant and, you know, I'm somebody, when you get me, you're getting a big fish. He knelt down, and then he cried, good master. He called him by the right term and title. Run into him, bowed down, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and loved him. There was no disdain. There was no contempt. Looked at him and loved him and said, well, here's what you got to do. And now you listen to me carefully. Here's what you got to do. You got to sell what you've got and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. Now, you hear me good. He's not against wealth. He was not against a person having prosperity. That's not the meat of that story. The meat of that story is that man's prosperity had him. Hello? And if those few dimes you've got are ruling you, you're in bad shape. You're in bad. And the man got up and walked away sorrowfully. He met head to head with Jesus. He so to speak, he butted heads with Jesus, and Jesus did not give. Jesus could have said, like we do in the church world today, he could have said, now he'll be a big time money man. And so we're going to make sure that we'll shave the edges a little bit for him. Because am I talking to you? I'm telling you what goes on in religion. if we will overlook the fact, and after all, he's a decent, got a good name, so he would be an asset to our church. And people walk around and say, "Did you know John Doe was a member of the church out there, whatever?" And it'll make us feel good because we finally penetrated the impenetrable. But that's not Jesus. That's not what he said. He said, "Your money." And the guy walked away sorrowfully, and Jesus loved him. Hello? So the educated came, the rich came. Some would come to Jesus, and Jesus came to others. I'm closing. There was a pool in Jerusalem. And by that pool, there was a crowd of people that were paralyzed. They were all kind of bad shape, bad luck. Jesus walked to that pool one day, and he specified one individual. He didn't give it blanket coverage. He specified one individual. "Will thou be made whole? Will thou be healed?" And the man said, "I have no man." If you can't come to Jesus, he will come to you. If you're physically unable to get out of your pew and come up here, don't you worry about it. He is not exempting you. He will send somebody, or he himself will go to you. He wants you to be saved. And here's what I'm closing with. "He that cometh to me," Jesus said, "I will in no wise toss aside." He's not going to play with you and mess with you and then just give up on you. He'll never give up on you. Is that right? Hosea, God is married to the backslider. Let me talk to the backslider. There's no man, there's no woman, no young person or old person that walks on this earth that is as miserable as a backslider. A backslider feels forsaken, that he's forsaken God. He feels forsaken by the church. He feels forsaken by the world. They look at him and say, "What happened to you? I thought you were going to church out there." He's got to live with his conscience. He's got to live with the guilt. He's got to live with the kind of life he's living. There's no one individual on planet Earth that is as miserable as a backslider. But God said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He's not going to toss you aside. There are some people that need special help. There's some people that can't, they just flat don't have the wisdom to make it by themselves. That's why there's a church. And the church is not in the business of tossing people aside. We're to look out and sort out and sift out those who can't make it, and join ourselves at the hip with them and say, "You can't make it by yourself, but I've been traveling for a while, and I'm here to help you. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side," would you stand? The musicians are going to come.